Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Well, join with me today as we continue in our study in the book of James. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. Today we'll be looking at verses 22 through 25. Follow along as I read in James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A few days ago, I underlined in my Bible some passages that we looked at earlier in the book of James. And as James hits some very touchy things for some folks, what I mean by that, James doesn't pull any punches. He lets us know about the moral law of God, what God expects of each and every believer. And that's not popular today. It's sort of like hail's not popular when it's time to harvest the wheat. And so it is with many believers today to hear it the way it is. But James does that. He gives us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exactly what we need to get our lives on track for Christ. But the point I'm making today is that he does it in love. As I'm looking back at some previous scriptures that we looked at, for verse 2, for example, James addresses my brethren. In verse number 16, it's my beloved brethren. In verse number 19, it's my beloved brethren. The motivation that James has to give us the truth, but he does it in love. And we need to be able to do the same thing today. We live in a culture today where there's much conflict, but as Christians, we need to be motivated by love with those that disagree with us. How do we handle ourselves? James handles himself by not backing away from the truth, but by being sure that the hearers understood he was coming from a place of love. I ran across a quote from John MacArthur. He wrote this, "Love complements and balances everything else. It is the beautiful softening principle. It keeps our firmness from becoming hardness and our strength from becoming domineering. It keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. It keeps our right doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism and our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. It's a thin line that we tread. But my friend, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, know that God loves you. And these truths that we are learning in the book of James are to be a blessing to us, are to make us happy, to make us successful, to make us more like Jesus Christ. God's plan for us today is to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 18, the Bible says this, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's what the subject is today that James is sharing with us. In verse number 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." I've divided our outline today into three points. The first two are negative, and then the last one is a positive. In verse number 22, we're going to learn, don't be a deceived Christian. And then in verses 23 through 24, we're going to learn, don't be a forgetful Christian. And then finally, in verse 25, the positive one is this, be a blessed Christian. So let's begin in verse 22 today. Don't be a deceived Christian. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, James has already instructed us in the importance of the word when we studied verses 18 through 21. You might remember that we were told to be swift to hear. In other words, our hearts need to be in tune with God. We need to be in tune with God's word. We need to be able to hear what God is telling us to do. And we also learn to be slow to speak. If I'm talking, I'm not listening. We need to be slow to speak. And then he talked about being slow to wrath. Wrath becomes an obstacle in many communication scenarios. We need to be slow to wrath. And he talked about receiving with meekness the engrafted word. How do we do that? Well, we learn, get rid of the moral filth that defiles. Clean out the abundance of wickedness. We looked at the Greek word that referred to wax in our ears. And spiritually speaking, what is the wax in our spiritual ears? It's wickedness. It's sin. There are certain things that we need to get rid of in our lives so that God can work upon us spiritually. How do we do that? Well, we need to allow God access to every area of our lives. You see, sometimes we have a tendency to have compartments, and we'll let God here and we'll let God there, but boy, we don't want God to come in this room. Why? Because that's a secret sin. Well, it's not secret to God, and it's hindering our walk with Him. We need to open up the whole house to the Lord. So we learned how important the Word of God is, and now James is teaching us, don't be a deceived Christian. Don't be a Christian that just hears the Word of God and isn't willing to do the Word of God. Beware, Christian, of the great deception. Robert Jeffers put it this way, the most dangerous interval in your spiritual life is the period of time between realizing what God wants you to do and actually doing what God wants you to do. James is teaching us that hearing is not enough. Obedience is paramount. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 28, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, referring to Christ, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he, Christ, said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. He said, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. I think Paul had in mind the Jewish people who were given the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. They would study the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. Question is, Paul's bringing it up, are you a doer of the Word of God? And then he continues on in Romans 2. He says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. What happened in the ministry of the Apostle Paul was so many cities that he went to, many of the Jewish people would reject the message, but the Gentiles were receiving the message. They were not only hearing the Word of God, but they were acting upon the Word of God. And this is what James is talking about here, that it's not good to be a hearer and not a doer. And if you are a hearer, you sit in church, you hear the Word of God, you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, maybe you're listening to the Word of God on the radio. But if God is speaking to your heart and He's telling you and He's convicting you of something you need to do and you don't do it, you're deceiving your own self. That's what James says. So don't be a deceived Christian. Secondly, don't be a forgetful Christian. This is found in verses 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now this morning, as I was preparing to come to Sunday school, I took a last look in the mirror, and sure enough, the collar on my suit coat, my blazer, was sticking straight up. Well, I was able to fix that. I wouldn't even have noticed had it not been for the mirror. And so that was the purpose of the mirror. Back in the first century, I read that the actual mirrors of those days were not glass, but they were metal, and they were polished so that you could see your reflection. One writer, he said the mirror was placed upon something like a table, and you would have to look down or stoop to look to see your reflection. James is talking here about someone who listens, looks into the mirror, but doesn't act upon what they see. Be like somebody looking into that polished metal mirror and seeing, oh, I need to comb my hair, or I forgot to shave, or there's a smudge of dirt on my face. But instead of correcting what they saw, just getting up, going along their way, absently just forgetting what they saw as though it never happened. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. He said, many people have the mistaken idea that hearing a good sermon or a Bible study is what makes them grow and get God's blessing. It is not the hearing, but the doing that brings the blessing. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. You see, the uniqueness of God's mirror is that it shows us what's on the inside. James used the illustration of a mirror that shows what's on the outside. But God's mirror, the Word of God, shows us what's on the inside. How does that work? Well, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings conviction to us. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, but we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're reminded of Moses when he came down from the mount, having been with God for several days. His face shined. But in reality, the shine would begin to dim the further time went on. But the glory that we have today as Christians isn't to dim, it's just to get brighter. And we are a reflection of the glory of God in our lives. Well, how does that happen? It's when we take the Word of God and we're obedient to it. And we're not a forgetful Christian, but we do the things that God tells us to do. John Phillips said, that is one of the remarkable properties of the Word of God as a mirror. It not only shows us our Savior, but also puts in our heart the desire to be like Him. So when James is writing in verse number 24, he said, this man who's forgetful, he looks in the mirror, he beholds himself, but he just goes his way and he forgets what manner of man that he was. Oh, my friend, today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is wanting and desiring and doing a work in your life to make you more and more like Jesus. He is working in our lives because He has a purpose for each and every one of us. The purpose He has for you and the purpose He has for me may be different on certain points, but God has a purpose for each one of our lives. Don't be a deceived Christian and fall short of what God's trying to do. Don't be a forgetful Christian when God has revealed something in His Word and you've been brought under conviction in perhaps a church service, or you've heard a message or a lesson on the radio and God is convicting you about a sin, about something that you need to do. And as soon as you leave the church or as soon as you turn off the radio, there you go, as though it never happened. Don't be a forgetful Christian. Rather, let's look at the positive point, and that's in verse 25. Be a blessed Christian. Let's look at what James writes in verse number 25. He says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's look at three parts of this verse. First of all, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." Now, this is someone who is eagerly and carefully looking with the intent to learn God's word. The perfect law of liberty, there is a reference to the word of God. And he talks about that this man is looking into, he's investigating, he's got his attention into the perfect law of liberty. God's word is perfect, and God's word offers freedom. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, verses 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from sin. Free from those things that would hinder us. Free from those obstacles that would keep us being what God wants us to be. If we will heed the word of God, know the truth, abide in the truth, obey the truth, God will do a great thing in our lives. And it matters not what your station is in life. Back in early Bible days, many of the Christians were actually slaves. It didn't matter. Doesn't matter what your vocation, what your lot in life is. If you become a Christian and you'll devote yourself to Jesus Christ, devote yourself to learning his word and obeying it, God will do a great work in your life that'll go beyond this life to that of eternity. God's word is perfect, and it offers freedom. The Bible also says back in the book of Psalm chapter number 19, I want to look at two verses there in Psalm chapter 19. First of all, I want to look in Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So the psalmist writes that the law of the Lord, God's word, is perfect. Now, when we think of the word perfect, many times it's the idea of being mature, but also it means to be lacking nothing. The law of the Lord, the scriptures, the Bible that we have today, the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's nothing lacking in the scriptures. God has given us everything that we need to know him, everything that we need to know to have our sins forgiven, everything that we need to know to live for Christ in the day and age in which we live, everything that we know to have an eternal home with God. Everything is there. Nothing is lacking. The law of the Lord is perfect. When I skip down to verse number 11 of Psalm 19, the Bible says, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." The Bible tells us what we need to do. The Bible tells us what's sinful and what is righteous. And if we'll be obedient to the word of God, the Bible says there is great reward. And that's what James is saying in chapter number 1, the very same thing. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," this eagerness, this desire to learn God's word, it needs to be a thing that we are passionate about. And the closer we draw to the Lord, the more passionate we'll be about his word. James goes on, he says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." Simply put, obedience to God's word is one's chosen lifestyle. As a Christian, obedience to God's word is our chosen lifestyle. It's the word engrafted into our lives, having the word of God mark our lives, that we are a reflection of the glory of God because we're living according to his word as taught to us by the Spirit of God. The psalmist said this in Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The older I become as a Christian, the more I seem to delight in the Word of God. I just enjoy so much preparing these lessons in the book of James. They speak to me in ways that only God and I know, because there's only so much that you can share, but God speaks to me personally and points things out to me that are such a blessing. There's such a delight in the law of the Lord. Obedience to God's word is a chosen lifestyle. It becomes a part of our makeup, a part of who we are. That's reflected into the world in which we live, and that's what God's plan is. And then finally, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's interesting, the word translated blessed means happy. If we will be a happy Christian, if we will be a blessed Christian, it's because we're looking into the perfect law of liberty and we're continuing therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You know, if I wanted to be a great pianist, I would have to practice, wouldn't I? I'd have to practice every day. If I wanted to be a marathon runner, I would have to practice constantly. If there's anything that you would devote your life to that you want to be good to, it would require constant repetition, constant practice, constant learning to endure would require time and effort. If you're going to grow as a believer in Christ, put the effort in. Be obedient to God's word. Make it part of your lifestyle. And if you will, James says, this man shall be blessed in his deed, reaping the benefits of actively listening and obeying God. Well, I shared with you the first two verses of Psalm 1, but look at the third verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I want to close out our lesson today by sharing with you a story that Jesus told, and you're probably familiar with it, and it's found in Matthew chapter 7. So let me close with this, what Jesus taught in that chapter. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." The house that Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 7 is our lives. A life that is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. When the storms come, and listen, they will come, but your house will remain standing because it's built on Jesus Christ. But for that person who hears the word of God and refuses the word of God, that house is going to fall. And when it does, it will be a great tragedy. Where are you at today in your life? If you're a Christian today, I encourage you, surrender yourself to not only hearing the word of God, but don't be deceived, Christian. That's not enough. Don't be a forgetful Christian. That's not enough. Be a doer of the word. Be a happy Christian, looking into the perfect law of liberty through obedience, making God's word a part of your lifestyle. May God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.